RapidDeploy is the CAD of the future. It's cloud-aided dispatch, not dinosaur computer-aided dispatch that looks like it was built in the 1980s. RapidDeploy's cloud-native CAD mapping and analytics increase situational awareness for call takers, dispatchers, and responders. RapidDeploy is taking public safety by storm. It's fast and easy to deploy, with implementation in days, not years. It's affordable for all agencies of all sizes, rich in features, functionality, and data. It's also reliable and secure as we use Microsoft Azure Government Cloud. Go to rapiddeploy.com to learn more.
If Within the Trenches has taught you something, opened your eyes to what it's like to be a 911 dispatcher, or has inspired you to become one, then help support us and join our Patreon. Get exclusive bonus content, one-of-a-kind swag, discounts on merchandise, and two bonus podcasts: the Within the Trenches Rebid, where we visit past guests, and Open Mic Live, a live stream show where we share funny dispatch stories. To join, please visit patreon.com/WTT podcast. And if you're an industry partner, we have something for you as well. And now for the show.
This is Jordan, and you're listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Warning, this episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Put that together a couple days ago. A friend of mine sent me that call, and I thought, this would make a good intro for Open Mic. So welcome, everyone, and I'm Ricardo Martinez. I'm the host and creator of Within the Trenches podcast, and this is going to be Open Mic. This is also a live audience episode, and don't be afraid to swear, but no names, no addresses, nothing that's going to get my ass sued. But if you happen to slip up, it's okay, because in post-production, I will delete it anyway. Also, not all of the stories we share will end up on the episode, because some of those are meant for just us in this moment in time. So, who has a story they would like to share? All right, here we go.
This was my very first 911 call I took in training. And it was medical. At that time, we did police, fire, and medical. And the lady goes, I need medical. What's it for? He's bleeding from his panties. And I go, he's bleeding from his panties? Yes, he's bleeding from his panties. And I was very confused. And I go, just so I understand what's happening, it's a male, yes. And he's bleeding, yes, from his panties. Yes, he's bleeding from his panties. It's a male, yes. His panties, yes. P-E-N-I-S. And oh, penis! Oh, I get it now. And we're both laughing. This poor guy. He got help, but it's
okay. Thank you for shivering. That's awesome. No, it takes one for the stories to... That was good. Thank you. Who's got a story? Okay. What I'm going to try to do as well, if you have a story, raise your hand, and I'm going to try to use both of these mics so we can get as many stories as we can with these last 30 minutes.
This goes back a long time ago when I was a regular dispatcher, many years ago. And I took a 911 call, and this woman, it's about sunset, and she says, I want to make a complaint. There's just two girls on horseback, and they're riding down the road. And this was in a rural area of our county. And I said, well, ma'am, what's the problem? She goes, well, they're on horseback, and they're walking, they're along the street. I said, okay, I don't understand what the problem is. She goes, well, they don't have their headlights on.
Gotta love those calls. All right, so my good friend over there is gonna be helping me on that side. So Who has a story? Oh, come on now. Someone has got to have a funny story. All right, here we go. Excellent, thank you.
This one again is from being a dispatcher working the radio frequency. Officers respond to a call of a 459 investigation or a burglary investigation, and the person that had called had reported that somebody had stolen their bulldozer. So the officers get there, they do an investigation, and they said, "Ma'am, show code 4, no one's riding dirty."
Who's next? Who's got a story? Oh man, I gotta bust out all my old school ones? All right, here we go.
So we had a newer dispatcher, and she wasn't too familiar with medical terms yet, and she was taking a hospital transport call, and she knew her standard questions: is there any special equipment they need? And they said, yeah, they're gonna need continuous pulse ox monitoring. And she's like, pulse ox? Yeah, pulse ox, yeah, okay. So she types it into the call, and she typed in P-U-L-L space S-O-C-K-S. The medics could not get enough of that, and I think within 5 minutes it was on one of the EMS message boards and went viral before the end of our shift. She now knows what pulse ox is. Also, this is all anonymous. It's just your voice. You don't have to give your name or where you work or anything like that. So, oh, all right.
It wasn't me, it was another new dispatcher years ago who went to dispatch an audible alarm call at the UPS store.
You know, when I ended up going, when I moved from Michigan, or from Florida back to Michigan, back home, and I was working there, there was a term, there was something that was said to me that I had never heard before. And I'm talking to the person on the emergency line, and the person ends up saying, "I need you to send an officer out to the cop shop." And I said, "I'm sorry, what did you say?" And he said, "The cop shop." And I said, "Okay, can you slow it down? Like, I don't know what that is. What's the address there? Can you give some cross streets, something?" And he goes, "It's the cop shop. That's where it is." And I said, "Okay, hold on a minute." So I have him on the line, and I'm looking in our in-house computer and typing it in the way I think it is. It was the cop shop, is what he was saying, and he meant the police department is where he's at. I didn't know that shit. But I'm asking everybody in the room as well, and I said, "Do you guys know where the cop shop is?" And they're like, "No, what the hell is that?" But they did know, because they told me afterwards. "You guys are jerks." But I'll never forget that, because the dude kept yelling at me. Just like in the intro with the little old lady yelling at that guy, that's how he was yelling at me. Jeez, like, "Spell it, dude." He's like, "I'm at the police department." I was like, "Oh, okay, I get it." Who has a story? Oh, all right, here we go.
So this wasn't my call, but we had a father calling for university, and he's calling, he's hysterical. He's like, "My daughter's crying hysterically. She says there's a dead body outside of her dorm." And so at this point, we're sending all the officers. There's a dead body. We're looking around. He didn't know what dorm she was. She's freaking out. "I don't know what to do." We're like, "Please provide your daughter's contact info. We need to call her. We can't find a dead body." We call her, and she goes, "Oh no, a dead bunny."
Perfect.
Well, I have two, but I'm going to pick the funnier one. We have a local that call all the time when I was very new, and he would always answer, you know, "911, would we help you?" And he would answer, "Hey, this is..." Oh, I guess I can't say his name, right?
You made him up.
He would say, "John Smith, straight, not gay, so a virgin." He would say it every single time. "Do you have an emergency?" "No." "Okay." So the next day, call about the same time. "This is John Smith, straight, not gay, so a virgin." This went on, and all the new people knew it, and we would just, you know, pass it along, and everyone, "Oh, I got the call today," and it was one of those. And then a few years later, I was in, and I was training, and I get a call, and it is John Smith. It says, "John Smith, no longer a virgin." So, straight, not gay, no longer a virgin.
Formerly known as.
Formerly known as.
Nice.
The artist formerly known as.
Does anyone else have a story?
I literally took this call on Thursday night. I had this guy call me and he goes, "Hey, I went to the smoke shop today. You know the one right behind the police department? I had to get some zigzags today. So when I went up to the clerk, I said, hey, I need some zigzags. I need to make sure you give me the good zigzags." He says, the clerk pulls them off the shelf, inspects them, and said, "These are good. These are the best. No problem." Guy says, "I went home, I started to roll my joint, the zigzag, the paper, they just started to break apart, fall apart. What can I do about that?" So I said, "Well, did you call the guy?" He said, "Yeah, but he's not going to give me my money back. He told me that it was my problem. How can he just do that?" He goes, "How else am I going to smoke my weed tonight?" Like, I don't know, maybe through a pipe? And that was all I had to say.
So helpful. You know, we're resourceful, right? I mean, we figure out ways to help people. And exactly, solutions. You figure it out. Well done.
Okay, so I work at a university out in the open area around farmland around this. So one day I'm sitting there, I take a 911 call, and this person says, "Hey, there's three horses going down the street." I'm like, "Where are you located? What's going on?" "No, they're right in front of the police station." So I look out the window, I see three horses go by at full speed, and then I see a cowboy behind him with a lasso trying to chase him down. And I see three dogs following the farmer that's trying to chase him down. And I'm like, okay, how am I going to put this out on the radio? So I just broadcast and I said, "Hey, there's horses off Camarillo Street." And they're like, "What?" The officers were just like, "Okay, yeah, we got the horse corralled eventually about 10 minutes later." So.
Nice. It's those calls when you try to figure out what to say, especially if you don't read the call first before you put it out. That is always bad. I was in training. And I remember one of my coworkers on main phones ends up saying, "You better say it exactly the way I put it in there." And I'm like, "Oh, what does that mean?" And in the narrative, the caller had said that there was a drunk guy who was going to different driveways and shitting in the driveways. And I said, I can't say it like that, but you better do it. And I did it because I was still in training. I didn't want to lose my job. I don't know the rules or anything. So I go over the radio and I said, "Well, in central to all stations and units in so-and-so city, check cross streets, reference to an intoxicated subject who was defecated on different driveways." And of course, there's always that one. "Central, what is defecating? What does that mean?" I said, "The guy's pooping." "Took four bits." Damn it. Who's got a story?
Okay, I've got it.
Oh, perfect.
So, like 20 years ago, I was not a morning person, and so I'm showing up a shift, it's like 5:45, and my coworker's like, "Oh, Molly has poopy face this morning." And I'm like, "Yeah, you know, cranking in the morning, it takes me a second to get plugged in, and I get locked on, and the phone rings, and I answer it, and the guy says, "Hi, I want to report a rabid dog." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And I'm kind of like, "What?" So then I says, "Well, what's your name?" You know, kind of like getting more information. And then I said, "Okay, so what's going on?" And he says, "Well, there's a rabid dog. I want to report a rabid dog." And I'm just like not getting it at all. So then I get off the phone, and I'm just like, so I get back on the phone and I said, "Sir, I'm sorry, is it a rabbit or a dog?" He goes, "Rabbit dog, you idiot!" So now I know what a rabbit dog is.
Nice. Oh, that's good stuff. Does anyone else have a
book? I just have one quick story.
All right. Yeah.
So, again, I'm working dispatch. I'm brand new. All this happened when I'm brand new. And there was a code 3 call that needed to be dispatched. I'm working a division that's near the beach. So I'm supposed to assign it to a patrol car, and I assigned it to a cycle unit, and I asked him to respond code 3. So he said, "Roger, man, we'll pedal as fast as we can."
That's awesome. know, you go through and you take these calls, and some of this stuff you really can't make up. And you get these callers, frequent flyers or whatever, that call in. I had a guy once who, well, not once, it was many times, he'd be calling over and over and over saying all this crazy stuff is going to happen. But this one time, he calls in and he's telling me about how something bad is going to happen to the president. And I'm like, okay, well, give me the information. And he gives me all the information. He goes, but you got to call this phone number. You have to call them and you have to let them know. And I said, sir, I will. That's my job. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to help. So I will call the phone number. We get officers heading out there to check on him as a welfare check and stuff, and or 96 check. So we end up sending them out there, and I'm sitting there looking at the phone number. Should I call this? Like, what is it going to go to? Is it going to be weird, like some type thing, or what is it going to be? So I tell my supervisor, I'm like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to call the phone number. So I call the phone number, and I hear White House switchboard. And I said, I'm sorry, what did you just say? And she goes, this is the switchboard for the White House. Who's this? And I said, okay, I'm Ricardo with, and, you know, I said everything. And she goes, okay, how can I help you? And I said, I don't know how to say this. I'm just going to say it. This guy was telling me all this stuff, and he told me to call you. And she goes, oh, so-and-so? And I was like, hey, no, you know what? Like, we're cool like that? Like, you know? And she goes, oh, yeah, he's harmless. And I said, okay. And said, have a good day. Like, no way. Like, I never thought that was going to happen. And my coworkers are there, and they're just like, did that really just happen? Like, yeah, it did. That's amazing. Anybody else have a story? All right.
So this is an open mic radio story from the previous department. It was not me, but we often had deputies working in dispatch. There was a female deputy who had a fairly distinctive voice who had an open mic while speaking about her underwear choice. Happened to be a thong, and she was probably in her 50s. Not old, but not something you want to hear.
My point's not necessarily super funny, it's actually more memorable. Back when Reagan was president, he lived in our county, well, he had a ranch in our county. And at the time, I was married to a deputy, and was on the SWAT team, and they were always responsible for protecting the ranch and the roadway when President Reagan was at the ranch. And so, if we needed to call up there, we would call up to the main gate, and I was told by my ex-husband, if anybody wanted to talk to him, just call, ask for Postal 31. So I called him one night, and switchboard operator put me through what I thought was Post 31, and this guy answered, and I said, stand there. He's like, no. Who? And I said, Deputy Matheson. He goes, I don't see anybody here. He goes, where are you calling? I said, Post 31. He goes, oh, well, let me put you back to the switchboard. So then I hung up, or he transferred me back, and switchboard finally got through to my ex-husband. And hung up, and a little while later, Stan calls me back. He says, what'd you say to the president? I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, everybody, the Secret Service up here is panicking. They want to know what you said to the president. And I said, I don't remember talking to the president. He said, you did. And I'm like, I said, all I did was call the switchboard and ask for Post 31, and they transferred me. And this nice guy helped me, and then he transferred me back. He goes, that was the president. You say so.
So I'm from the University of California, Santa Cruz. I'm the comm manager, and this was one of our dispatchers who took this call. I had to pull the tape, which was interesting because this was actually for a case for the DA. They're asking for the 911 call on a domestic. So I go to pull the tape, find the call, get the times, plug it into our water, get things playing, and I'm listening to this domestic unfold with a gal whose ex-boyfriend is beating on her door, trying to break her window, trying to break into her apartment. And she's frantic, and our dispatcher, who happens to be our lead, who really has the gift of speaking with people, is keeping her as calm as possible, trying to get officers there. We're in short staffing, like a lot of you are, and at that time only had one dispatcher on duty. So he's it. In the meantime, 911's also ringing for a different purpose, and he answers his call, and it's students who are asking for officers to come help them retrieve their items because, according to the way they put it, their backpacks were being held hostage. And he's trying to figure out what they're talking about. What do you mean the backpacks? Your backpacks are being held hostage. Why can't you get your backpacks? Where are they? And he is ending up having to go back and forth between the two calls because he's trying to keep tabs on what's going on with the domestic as officers are responding. But at one point, the students hang up and call 911 back. You know how that works, right? Where you got them on hold, they don't want to be on hold, they hang up and call back. So he keeps having to re-answer their call and asking for officers to come help them get their backpacks. Well, it turns out that they had went out into the meadow on our campus, and as the sun was setting, the cows came in. And they couldn't get their backpacks because a big group of cattle had moved into the meadow, and every time they went to go get their backpacks, the cows would start walking toward the students who were going out into the meadow, and that would freak them out. You could hear them in the background, "Oh my God, run!" And he's trying to take this domestic call, and the way he would switch back and forth was amazing. So I also have to say that was kudos for his ability to switch between this crazy call about the cows and making sure officers got in to help her and everybody was safe with the domestic.
So this is another open mic story, not me, but another dispatcher who has a very distinctive Texas drawl and a very deep voice. And he was training another dispatcher. And an officer kept coming up asking for service, and he was put on standby twice. So on the third time, on an open mic, Tex, I'll call him, goes, "Tell that fucking clown to hold on." And after a beat of silence, you hear the sergeant come. The 10-4 radio, the circus is in town.
Very nice. So we are coming up on the end of this entire session. And I want to thank all of you for sharing your stories. I'm going to end with one of my personal stories. And also, if you have one that you've written down for Imagine Listening, again, as soon as we're done with this, come and see me. I'll meet you for it. So, this last story that I'm going to share, you may have heard it before, others probably not. And for those who are listening out there, because they have a speaker set up out there, they're going to be able to hear this story that I'm going to tell. And, yeah. This is embarrassing. Something embarrassing that happened to me, and I'm all about a good. I've got a good sense of humor, and I'm all about humor, especially if it's at my expense in a way. So, I was in dispatch, and I'm heading in for my Wednesday shift. It's a 4-hour shift. It is 1A to 5A. Took my nap and everything, but I'm still tired, right? And. Yeah, we had 3-12s and a 4 is what we worked. It is horrible, right? They changed it now. But that was in Michigan. So I go into the shift and I stop at the gas station. One, I was hungry, and two, I needed to make sure that I was gonna stay awake. So I buy a can of Red Bull. And then I buy a gas station burrito. It's called a Red Bomb. Didn't realize it was going to be my future. However, let's continue. So I get to dispatch, and I get there a little bit early, you know, so I can relieve people and get have them tell me what's been going on. And I stop in to microwave this, what I think is going to be an amazing burrito.
And I get it, and I'm on phones that night. So I go and I sit down, I've got this burrito, got my can of Red Bull, I chug that MF-er, and I destroyed that burrito. It was good. Well, then a little while later, I'm on the phone, and there's a pursuit that's going on with the county that's south of us, right? And I'm on the phone with them, we're putting out a BOL. I don't know what you all call it over here, like in the south, it's BOLO, but in the Midwest, it's BOL, be on the lookout, so everyone says it different. So we're putting out a BOL as this car that's being chased is gonna come into our county. And as I'm talking and I'm typing, I get, a little bit of bubble gut. I'm like, hell no, not right now. You've got to be kidding me. Like, this is not good. I continue typing, and I'm putting the information out there, and I am sweating at this point. I'm by myself on phones, but I swear, as much as I was sweating, it smelled like probably ham over there because I was sweating so bad. Because I'm a grown-ass man, but I was about to lose it there. So I'm praying, and I'm like, please, stick together. Just, we can do this. We got this. I'm sending a message over to my partner saying, check it out. If I have to put them on hold or something, just pick up the phone, and I have to run down the hall, because I don't know about your dispatch center, but at my old dispatch center, you've got a bathroom inside dispatch, and then one down the hall. I was not about to drop heat there with them. So I have to put them on hold. And I stand up and I said, I gotta put them on hold, can you take this? And one of my partners goes, you got a poop, dude? I was like, dude, what? Yes, but you don't have to confirm it. This is a warrant. So I haul ass running. I mean, you can probably see the smoke, hopefully the smoke, not anything else. And I go do my thing, I come back, I'm like, good Lord, that was horrible. Get back on the line, and they had been far out still. Like, the car was going back and forth. Like, what the hell is going on? And then I still got them on there. And then again, my stomach starts gurgling. It's like, what the hell? And you know, sequels are always worse, right? In the movie world, in the shit world, it's the same thing. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, just hold, you got this. And just like back farts and just everything going on. So I tell him again, like, I gotta put you on hold. I gotta put you on hold just really quick. My partner's gonna take over, put him on hold, and they're all laughing at me. And I go to take off and do my thing, and I come back. I'm like, good God, this is stupid. Like, why? Nobody was on the phone or anything, everything was fine. They call back a third time, like, throw the stop sticks down already, like, take this guy out. Just, let's do this already. And my trilogy of poo that happens, I end up having to go again. Like, this is just crap, literally. But this time, there was no way I was gonna make it down the hallway. And I put him on hold, I was like, deuces. I went to the bathroom inside dispatch. I turned on all the water. Fan, because I didn't want anyone to hear the chaos that was about to happen. Because if you've seen Dumb and Dumber, that's exactly what I was picturing was going to happen. Me screaming, crying, whatever. But I didn't care. So I do my thing, and I come out, and my coworkers are just laughing so hard at me. And I wanted to say to them, and actually, I was saying, I'm going to turn the heat up so that you can smell it then, because you're making fun of me. Years later, I'm on a dispatch. I'm on a family vacation, going to Washington State. We stop in Montana to get gas. And I'm in the gas station, and I'm walking by, and I just, oh, what was that? Like, I felt something, like something was drawing me to this cooler. There's Red Bomb burritos there, and there's a little stand of Red Bulls. And I thought, screw you, Montana. And that's my story. I want thank you all very much for being here for this live episode, for my session and everything. If you have any comments, questions, if you want to be a guest on the show, you can email us at wtdpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, that is @911podcast. You can like us on Facebook, that is facebook.com/withthetrenchespodcast. All of the podcast episodes can be heard 24/7 on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and your favorite podcasting app, as well as withinthetrenches.net. And we are about 200 away from 1.2 million total downloads. And this podcast is heard globally because of all of your stories, especially with the movement. If it wasn't for what you do every single day, everything that I'm doing wouldn't be what it is. So continue to do your job. Share your stories. While you're here throughout this time at the conference, if you see someone who is sitting by themselves, bring them in. Let them know that they're not alone. Because we are really this family, this thin gold line. So thank you once again, and a round of applause for everyone.
You just listened to a Code 7 Network podcast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to wttpodcast@gmail.com.